You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show.
No music? All right, well, whatever. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to the sixth week episode entitled Who You With of Starz Original Series Power. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is
Erica J. Green,
Robin Ayers,
Bam Erickson.
And we have been blessed to have, 2 weeks in a row, another special guest. And you guys are not going to imagine who this is. This guy is playing an integral role in this season, this first initial season of Starz Power. His name is Vinicius Machado, a.k.a. Vinny, if you want to call him Vinny and keep a hood with that. You know what I'm saying? Vinicius Machado is in the house. How you doing, Vinny?
Yo, how you guys doing, man? Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yeah, we're glad you're here. He plays the role of Nomar on the show. He is the CI, a.k.a. confidential informant.
Yes, sir.
For Angela and her team. And your role right now, you're actually starting to get, I don't want to say you, but Nomar, because we got to keep this thing separate, because Vinicius and Nomar are two different people.
Vinicius is delicious, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Nomar is a little weird, but, you know, just keeping it real.
Yo, you know what's crazy? If you guys can, when you guys tune in, and you guys are just listening right now on podcast, when you guys go to YouTube and you actually watch this and you see this guy, you got to check out his whole vibe. You'll see how he's dressed. He looked like he just up the off, just flew in the Clearport, you know, off the private jet from 50,000 high, and flew in from Miami, and was like, I gotta go do this interview real quick at AfterBuzz TV. You know what I'm saying? It looks nothing like the character. I'm like just so impressed. This dude's an actor. I was telling him and his beautiful sister over here that this dude is an actor, for real. And he's working on some projects that is also going to, like, showcase his talent and where he's at. We're going to talk about a little bit later. But we want to jump into this episode because we want to know what he thinks about some of the things that happened in this episode.
Man.
As well. There was a lot of hot stuff going on, you know, from Ghost and this whole thing with Angela that he has going on. First of all, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Ghost and Angela and how he's... The steam is getting hotter, and Bam has something to say.
Ghost, this relationship between Ghost and Angela, Jamie, Angela, is really starting to now turn me off. He's becoming so PW.
Thank you.
He's becoming so PW. Catch it, adults. You know what that means. He's so whipped now that he's clouding his judgment on everything else, and to me, I don't like their relationship anymore, because when you are going to step out, you can't like neglect your wife the way that he's neglecting her. When she was up performing the song at the club, you're gonna hide behind the character that Lala Anthony plays to answer the text. Then you're going to leave the club to go answer a phone. Like, you breaking, if there's rules, you're breaking the cheating scientific rules.
Yeah. But let me just jump in real quick, because remember, guys, I'm the one who said I was all for.
Yes, you are.
I was feeling their relationship, but I mentioned that the reason I don't like their relationship anymore is because now they're both making a decision. They know about each other's
other lives.
But see, before it was like he didn't know about her, she didn't know about his. So I was like, oh, it's more fantasy.
No, but he knew he was married.
Yeah, well, he didn't know that she had another. She didn't know that he had another.
Well, they both came clean at the same time. Remember that?
And I get that. But what I'm saying is, I was digging it a little bit more when it was like fantasy and just a little bit more romantic. But now it's just straight up disrespectful.
I mean,
you know what's so interesting?
Like, say about this.
Because this is a man who's living, you know, with a lot of pain and regret. You know, he regrets the decisions that he's made. And so he's at a point right now where he's starting to look back, you know, and I think he's at a pivotal moment where, you know, he's already made his decision. It's already made, you know. And so now is solidifying the idea of the past that he never had, mm-hmm. you know. So, and that's the interesting thing about the streets, you know, because Ghost's character, in a way, emulates what, you know, the street life is all about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't expect anything because you just don't know. And it's interesting because his relationship with Angela is, it goes hand in hand with his relationship with Tommy. But on the reverse, if you catch that, you know. Yeah, man. Because, you know, the way it's developing, and I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, it's almost like black and white, you know, night and day. And he's caught in the middle, and it's kind of like resemblance of what he is going through internally, you know, himself. And it's getting himself to the point now where he's going to say, okay, I'm going to make a decision I'm going to be able to live with now. And the choices that, you know, the consequences, therefore, wherever they be, I'm going to be able to live with. And I think that's where he's at, you know. Down at the end of the day, he's a man who can't live with the decisions that he's made.
Right.
And so he's stuck in a situation. So Angela, in a sense, is, you know, because everything there is kind of like, you know, masqueraded over the facade of what the idea was. Because, you know, it could have been, you know, anybody else in a sense. But, you know, Angela just solidifies that for him. Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, encourages him to go ahead and pursue that which he never had. So,
but why continue to make bad decision after bad decision? It's like, why are you stringing along the woman who's been by your side, who's been like the down chick, if I can say that? You know, I've blinked my own self out.
Oh, Lord, I'm on the woman's side. Let me turn back over. Because y'all about to go in, I feel
it. I'm not going in, but like, I was getting a little heated. I'm watching, and I'm just like, you're out in public still just being disrespectful. What if your kid walked by? You know, that I see it from just not only the wife, but the kids and everything.
The kid's not going to walk by because the kids don't walk.
You know what I mean.
The kids have a driver.
What if your family sees that other people? You know, you're making Tasha look stupid. Yes, I'm going to be for the woman's side.
Yeah. But in addition to that, though, Erica, I feel like it's still wrong. Yes, I'll say it again, still wrong. But at least do your wife equally or better than the mistress. He's dogging Tasha out right now. He's dogging her out.
But let me ask you a question. What makes it wrong?
What makes Tasha and Ghost?
No, the Angela and Ghost. Just to get a different perspective from, you know, what makes it wrong.
Originally, I said that I sort of liked it. I was sort of pro their relationship because it was like, it was a long lost love. It wasn't like he just met her off of the, you know, street or something.
Right.
But now I feel like because he's divulged all his information, she knows he's married. He knows that she had a boyfriend. I know that he's gone now, but they're no longer together. That's what I mean. But the fact, like, they just had this scene where they were in bed together and she said, I don't want you to go. Like, that's just rude. Now you're getting rude and disrespectful. That's what I'm saying.
Selfish,
I mean, even, you know, from the beginning, it's, you know, morally wrong, you know, because he's married.
Right.
You know, right from the get-go, but, you know, encompassing the fact that, you know, this is what, you know, everybody's relationship is kind of on a show, you know. I think people have an idea, you know, that is like black and white, but we live in a world that is full of colors.
Yes.
And so it's difficult because you have emotions and you have, you know, life and circumstances and conditions, and then you live with, like, pain and regret, like, and I think that that's what motivates Ghost,
right,
you know, his character a lot. And so, you know, for him, and that's the thing, it's like, for him is right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, even though it's like morally wrong and all that, and, you know, I agree with, you know, the morally wrong statement, but, you know, for him, it is the right thing to do because now he's going to be able to get to a future that he always wanted to have.
It's so funny you mentioned that because last week, Naturi, you know, said something about life is full circle. And I always say, look, once you leave something in the past, you move forward and don't go back.
Right.
And she says, well, sometimes life works where things come around full circle. And that's a very true statement as well.
Yes.
But I also find that it's very interesting that it's inevitable, of course, that the truth is starting to catch up with him. He goes with her dad, goes with her to see her dad,
right.
Who was sick in the convalescent home.
Right.
And she's like, he looks familiar. Who is that? Oh, that's the kid that used to hang out in the corner, the drug dealer.
Right.
Right. So now he has this look on his face like, the truth is bearing down on me, kind of thing, and it's only a matter of time. Plus, she's been listening to the audio tapes. Right, so she listens to the audio tapes, mm-hmm. and she doesn't know. He's Jamie as far as she's concerned. Right. She doesn't know about this alter ego, Ghost.
Yeah.
And so now she's familiar with the term or name Ghost. So it's just a matter of time before it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, the crosshairs are going to be on him, and I'm just curious to see how she's going to handle that. And the writers have been so clever as to set her up in a situation where this woman has no life. Like, she has no life.
Right.
Like, her whole life revolves around her career strategy and surviving and getting away from and making a better life for herself and her family. Like, she has a relationship with her family that's not really estranged, but she's not really tight with them because she's so involved with work.
Yes. Right.
So, if you look at that dynamic, I think you might find her in a position where if she had a normal social life, she might not dive in with this Jamie situation like she's I think she's gonna be forced to do because she has nothing else. Like, you seeing her taking herself out of character. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to stay over. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I really feel Angela would do if she had a normal life.
She was saying,
but she doesn't have a normal, normal life. She doesn't. She felt alone even when she was with Greg. Greg was just somebody to keep her warm, in bed. And
like, it was easy because they worked together.
Exactly.
Right? So,
So I empathize with her, even though, you know, we know it's wrong, you know, morally or whatever. At the same time, when he's telling her things like, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Also, she said, you're there with all those people and I'm here alone.
But,
and he says, I'm alone too.
And now let me jump back on his side. He is alone because he feels, you know, you got Tasha and Tommy who just don't get, they don't understand where he's going, his goals. They don't get where he's going. And so the two people that are closest to him aren't really vibing with him. So therefore he does feel alone. He feels like there's no one that he can trust. There's no one that he can talk to. So he is alone in the aspect of that. You have celebrities all the time where they're around a lot of people, but they're still alone.
Right.
But I get that. But why string Tasha along with the game? At the end of, well, I do want to make mention, he did tell Andy, it won't always be like this. So it's like he has his own plan on the side, but you're not trying to include, I don't feel like it's including Tasha or Tommy. Like you said, they're not
seeing it.
Now,
but
is he really stringing her along?
She seemed a little bit oblivious about that he was cheating, which I thought, you know, women, we kind of know these kind of things, but she was really, like, surprised whenever it was brought up by the driver. I can't think of his character's name right now. Yeah, Sean's character, when he mentioned that to her, she acted really surprised, like, really, he's stepping out on me? So, I don't know, like, seems like she still thinks he's in this. He comes home to her, kissing her and stuff like that, acting like he is still in this, but all the time you have this alternative motive.
But here's the
I think she she knows, but she doesn't want to know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
We do that.
But here's the thing also with that. She knows him well enough to know that it's really not all about a woman. A woman might be involved, but it's much deeper than that.
Because
he is making a total life choice that he's including her on.
Exactly.
It's not like everything even revolves around Angela. It's about a complete package of a life that he wants to live.
Right. Well, see,
and she just fits into that plan. It's not all about Angela.
But that's like, right now, because they don't know the truth about each other either. So, you know, the careers might, you know, change things as well once they know. But, you know, it's all spiraling down. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Well, see, the point that I wanted to make is that this is the very first time. Well, remember, she saw Ghost in Angela talking in the club a couple of episodes ago. Remember when they first came together? That's the only time that she ever saw him with another woman that maybe she has some sort of inkling about. But it was, I don't think it's ever been about her thinking that he's cheating. Even now, even when Sean told her he puts other things before you or he has other priorities, whatever he said in the end, whatever he said.
What do I know? I'm just a driver.
That scene right there. The way he made it seem, we know that he's saying that there's another woman, but she doesn't necessarily know. She's sort of like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
There is something that he's not telling me. There's something that you know that I don't, but I don't think at the top of her head she's thinking it's another woman.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
And maybe to her it's more than just that, because the idea of a woman, you know, as a one-night stand, you know, she could live with, but is the idea of, you know, bringing down the empire that they've built. And that's what she's after. What she, you know,
and
clings into.
Brings the point that when he mentioned to Angie that he's lonely, He is.
He is.
Because every Tommy, Tasha, his life, everybody thinks he's one way, but he's not. He's
yeah. To, he's a punk with him.
To Angie.
I'm like, what?
Sorry, I meant to Tasha, yeah. to Tommy, and all of that. Right. All of them. He's Ghost. Mm-hmm. But he's Jamie. And he is lonely because no one knows that side of him.
Right.
So I think he is. He was talking the truth right there.
Well, talking about Tommy, I mean, Tommy, you know, finds
out. I love
Tommy,
man.
Yeah, Tommy is the man.
Love Tommy.
Right. Tommy is, and another shout out to Joseph because he's playing that role.
That's my boy.
Yeah, he's playing that. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
And he's a beast at the gym, man.
Is he?
Yo, yeah. We worked out a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's a beast.
He's pretty fit. He was sitting on the edge of the bed. I was like, okay, he got a little. Okay. He said somebody works out a little bit.
You know, he used to be a boxer.
No, I didn't.
Wow. Yeah, okay. He did professional boxing.
I'm glad you told me that, because when we talked to him, we could ask him about, you
That's
know.
That's right.
Yeah,
right. I can see that with the intensity. Like, every scene is, like, intense. He's bringing it like it's an opponent.
Yes, he does. I love it.
He's very,
he's aggressive.
Super intense. But speaking
super
of...
Super nice guy. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Yeah. That's great. He's a really nice guy, but then he brings this level of intensity to the character. That's like, yo, this dude's a ticking time bomb. You never know what's going to happen with Tommy, right? Tommy is just like, you're waiting. You feel like he's like the hugest pit bull in the world.
Right.
And Ghost is the only person like that can like tame him kind of thing. But I really like how he found out that Ghost was in Forest Hills.
I love it.
He's sitting there like, it's 1956 having a milkshake on the corner
with Angela.
Like, I swear they get into these moments where nothing else exists. Like, they're in La La Land and they're just floating around on the cloud. And then Tommy had to come in there and like just break the whole thing up. It's like,
brilliant, man. I love that scene.
The way Tommy came in there and the way his whole disposition changed. And to see the response of how Ghost couldn't say anything, but how he was pissed. Like, Tommy's characters, he really knows how to get under Ghost skin or say certain things when he knows that Ghost can't say anything. That whole scene, I thought Tommy's performance in this past episode, I thought was just really brilliant because he really acted his ass off in a sense of being able to play the ass, then, you know, playing the angry. Like, there were so many emotions that he conveyed all in just one episode.
Remember, all in one scene.
And he, you know, what's funny is because, you know, that's his best friend. So he knows how to get under his skin. Secondly, there's a level of betrayal that he feels.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is why, even though when he confronted, Ghost in the room and he threw all the tough stuff off the table, you would really think that, because Ghost is pissed. Right. Ghost is like, this dude's going to come in here and screw this up and, you know, bring everything that I really care about down on me. And Tommy's pissed.
Right.
Tommy's already pissed. So Tommy is like, you know, Tasha, he says, is like his sister. Yeah. And like, we came up together. All the success we have, he associates with Ghost and Tasha as everything, as the three of them as a package deal, right? And now they're married, they have kids and blah, 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 and we're doing great. And now you want to... the girl who left your heart in a dumpster type of deal, and you want to bring this situation, like, what are you doing?
We already had that experience.
We're
going to go through this again, right?
And he had to check Ghost, and Ghost actually was mad, and then Ghost had to, you saw Ghost dwindle. His energy dwindled because Tommy really got in him, was spitting real to him, like, dude, this girl left your heart in the dumpster. What are you doing? Tasha's like my sister, like, blah, blah, blah. And we have all this. You're going to have, Tasha's going to bring all this shit down.
Right.
And excuse my French, but that's what he said.
And after all this time, you know, where has she been? And I'm the one who's been here helping you build this thing.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're just turning on me like that.
Right.
You know.
Loyalty.
And when Ghost came at him, Tommy had to remind him, wait a minute. I can't be in your business. You was in my business.
That's right.
You was in my business the other night about Holly. So
let's talk about Holly.
Let me make a quick point. Just notice that Tommy has tried. He has had to remind Ghost a couple of different times. Listen, we are equal. You are not my father. You are not my big, you know, brother.
That's right.
So he said, remember the last time he said, when Ghost was trying to when he brought Holly over to the house, and he was like, wait a minute, first of all, don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean? So he had to say, she's just as much my employee as she is yours. Mm-hmm. We're like equal. We're 50-50 partners
right.
in this.
Right.
And then on this past episode, he said, that's funny because you were all up in my business last, you know, the mm-hmm. other day mm-hmm. or whatever. So the point is that he's trying to let Ghost know, listen, we're equal here.
But he was wrong to bring that girl over to the house.
Of course. I'm not saying that he wasn't.
Who was wrong to bring the girl over to the house?
Tommy was wrong to bring that girl.
To bring Holly over?
Yeah.
That's his girl. Thing. He likes her.
but she did. Okay. Talking about that, she did steal something. Thank you very much. And I said that last week. I was like, maybe she was looking at her like, maybe Tasha was looking at her like that because she's the kind of chick that will come in and snatch something right off of the countertop. And you're like, no, I don't think that. You guys are like, no, I don't think that she was stealing anything. And sure enough, she's wearing the diamond hoop earrings.
Yeah.
I'm like, see, she stole something. That's what I thought about when she said she was going to the bathroom. I'm like, she about to steal something.
Yeah. And then it caused Tommy to have to lie to Tasha to be able to cover
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So
he was in a precarious situation.
Well. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Which is why he should have never brought her ass over to the house because when... I mean, look at the house. I would never bring, if that was your house and there was just a girl that I recently just met, I'm not going to bring this chick over to your house when you living in this big old deluxe apartment.
But that shows you how he feels about her.
No, I would not. Yeah, you would. Let me tell you why, Bam. Let me tell you why you would, Bam Erickson. You would. Let me tell you why, Bam Erickson. You would, because you're very picky about the women that you like. And as soon as you finally find a woman that you actually like,
okay,
her and you're like, dang, we got this thing. It's this one girl. I mess with her.
That's how it is.
And then they hook up. And everything is cracking.
And it just
And
goes.
They're in the bar and he beats a dude's butt over it. And it's like, oh, she's turned on by that. They have a very, very, very peculiar taste, both of them.
Yes,
and
they
the
do.
Fact that they click. When you're a peculiar person and you find somebody else that's just your type of peculiar, you bring them to the homie's house.
That's
this is the chick I'm messing with. You gotta do that.
Cause for problems.
You're right, but I still don't like her.
Can someone please tell me, I was trying to figure this out, I was asking Robin if anyone knows, why did she wear the earrings to Tasha's party? What was there a reason for that? Was it like, look, I have your shit, you
maybe,
know, I have your
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe she didn't know.
It was Tasha's party.
She knew it was Tasha's party. She said I got called in for, Santos called me in for Tasha's party.
Cantos
mm-hmm. called me in for Tasha's party. So she knew, so why did she wear them? Is she just really that crazy? Is that what they were trying to point out? That she's really off.
She's a chameleon. She knows how to change her colors, you know, and I think she's planting seeds here and there for a purpose.
That's
and
what
I think
I was
you're
going
to see it develop a little bit more in a future episode.
Yeah, when she tried to say Tommy paid for these, I was kind of like, whoa, is she trying to
she
say
knows
that
what
Tommy
she's doing.
Took me? Like, I didn't know where she was trying to go with
it. But also remember, she knows that Ghost is screwing some other woman. So I think she wore the earrings because first of all, she didn't give a damn. And if Tasha was to say something to her, she has something against Tasha to say, well, yeah, I stole earrings, or maybe I didn't steal earrings because I know your man. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has weight.
I don't think so. She's just a petty thief, like she said in the car.
Right.
Well, she's a crazy thief. She's a klepto.
She told Tommy, I didn't think she would miss him. I think it was just that simple.
Right.
I didn't think she would miss him.
Because she saw all that. She said he shared closets like a department store.
I think there's more.
Okay.
I love that. That one thing just made me feel like.
All right, well, no more.
That's the Venetians coming out.
Damn. I think there's
no,
more.
No, that's the delicious.
Yes.
That's the delicious. You ain't going to see no grown man saying delicious. Ain't no grown ass man going to say delicious. No, I'm
kidding. You'll have to stay tuned and watch out.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, but her closet is a department store, but you got to remember, she doesn't know that Tasha. She doesn't know their background. So when you come from nothing and now you've got all this, I bet you she can run an inventory. Tasha can run an inventory in her mind of everything that's in that closet.
Yes, she can.
Because she's smart with numbers.
Yes.
She knows. She just knows like line items. She knows just like, okay, I got this with this, this with this. Especially women that like to dress. They know their closet.
Yeah.
I know from experience.
And she's overprotective.
Yeah.
Mm. So, you know, she's aware. She's got everything, you know, pinned down.
Right.
Yeah, she's aware of everything.
And plus, go ahead.
No, you know, that's the type of the character that she is, mm-hmm. you know, so she would know for sure. So if something goes missing, and that's why, you know, she was right on it. So
let's talk about Tommy and Holly again really quick. I need to bring up a special point about that.
Yeah, because, go ahead.
I'll bring one up, too.
Yeah, well, I would love to hear what you want to talk about the money?
Yeah. You want to talk about the money?
No, I don't want to talk about the money. I want to talk about the fact that he told her the business. He said, this isn't my first rodeo, but he told her the business.
That was dumb.
He's
dumb.
PW.
Dumb.
But listen, remember last week, he said, or I said, part of my prediction was the fact that I think Tommy is going to try to build with Holly sort of what Ghost has with Tasha. And it's almost out of spite, I think, at this point. I don't know.
I don't think Holly's the right chick, though.
I don't think it's out of spite. I just think naturally, as you mature, and you know, like he said, he's at the top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, a team of guys working for him. I think it's natural that there's just something about this one particular girl, because Tommy is all about the grind and the hustle. He's not a pee hound, as you call it. So he's not running around trying to screw every girl.
It's genuine. His reaction to Holly is very genuine. So I agree with that point. But the reason I said what I did is because, again, I brought back those two points where how he had to check Ghost. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm your equal here. So it's almost like Ghost has been, I don't know, coming at Tommy a certain kind of way, like a,
like an underling.
Yeah. So I think he's sort of trying to prove himself. Like, listen, you could run around here doing what you do. You can go and sleep with other girls, and you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But to tell her the business, that's rule one.
Well, here's the thing. I think
he just broke everything right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think that he knows what he's gotten himself into. You know, he's lost and fascinated over her, and he's caught up in that. But you know, it's so interesting that Holly has been the only one who's been able to get Tommy to do things without him actually willingly wanting to do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
that's
where everybody
point.
Else. Yeah, because Ghost hasn't been able to control him that way, but Holly does.
Yes.
You know, by his naiveness, by his fascination over her, you know, he loses control in that sense. And she's just been like, been able to spin him around, twist him, turn him upside down, and do whatever she wants with him, you know, so she's playing. And so that's why, you know, I'm saying that, you know, there's a lot more than just naturally getting involved with this guy. You know, she has a plan.
I'm glad that's a good point that you made, because it was so evident about how she went off about the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, well,
all of a sudden,
it's a problem, Matt.
Right.
Your dude is loaded.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Never seen that before in my life.
Right.
First time ever. And on national TV, a woman got a problem with bricks of money laying around the house. Okay? So she's like, where's it? I'm like, what? I was like dumbfounded on that scene. I was like, are you serious? I'm like, you can go.
It's because he lied.
I got money. Well, it's not about. That's the thing. That's the thing that Vinny was talking about. It's about her angle. It's bigger than that. She already knew he had money because she knows he's part owner of the club, right? So she knows he's got money.
Right.
It's not like a low-end club. It's a high-end club. So obviously, he's got more money than her, even if he's just a club owner. So if he has bricks of money laying around the house, the average basic B would be like, oh, of course, he's got money. You know, he owns a club.
Right.
You know, he got money, whatever.
Right. No.
But she's angling for something grander. Of whatever, and I think that she will do whatever it takes to use Tommy to her interest. Even that, I don't think she would want to discard Tommy, but I think it's to her interest as well. I think ultimately she would be like, okay, you're a boss too, just as Ghost is strutting around in these suits and showing and telling people blah, 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 which is another thing, a side note. I feel Ghost is feeling himself because he gets to put a suit on every day and all this other kind of stuff. And he tells Tommy to handle stuff in the street and yada, yada, yada. And that's why Tommy has to remind him. But going back to Holly, Holly is angling to position Tommy.
Just a thought, though.
She's been watching stuff. She's been paying attention.
She mentioned to Tommy that she saw Ghost with somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, she's eyeing everything.
Right.
She's becoming aware of everything. So she's collecting her data and building a case for herself.
And
you know?
She's...
And Tommy will be just another tool that she'll use to be able to get what she wants, you know?
Hmm.
So I think she will discard him if it came to that point.
If it came to that.
If it came to that, yeah.
But I had a thought. Could she be working for someone? to try to bring them down. I don't know why that came past my mind. It's like she's kind of just doing all this kind of random stuff just to like to help Tommy or bring him down. I don't understand. Like,
I thought about that too, but I don't think
could she.
I'm not sure if she's working for somebody.
I mean, you have these random chicks that are in here dominating. You have the one that's killing people.
The reason why I would say no, she's not, is because it's not like
just
she.
A thought, I'm not saying,
I know,
yeah.
But she's. It's not like she was the one who was actively trying to get into the circle. Look how many times Tommy had to come after her.
Right.
So pretty she wasn't chick in a club. You get hollered at all the time. Like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she knew how to angle herself. Put myself right in the club. Tommy will see me. Okay, he's going to try to holler.
If she is working for somebody.
She saw the opportunity.
Right.
And then she, you know, she's a petty thief, so she's just reacting and going along with it. You know, so she's having fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a day in the playground for her.
I, for one, am shocked that she didn't take one of those bricks.
Me too.
That's what I'm shocked about. Like, I said I like to take stuff. I'm kind of shocked.
I thought she was going to try to shove it out of the
pants. She's preparing herself.
She probably is preparing herself.
Her clothes are too tight. Where is she going to stack that? It was like saran wrap tight. She's going to have to, like,
he was chilling on the bed. You never know.
But here's the thing. I think sometimes, from what I've heard, ladies can project drama.
Watch
to
it.
Try to pull drama. Strings.
Hold it.
To pull strings of the gentleman and to, you know, disorient them. I think a lot of these dramatics that she's doing is to disorient Tommy and just to, like we said, it's like to gain some kind of control. And just she found, you know, just like he said, he's like, you have access to the money. You know, you can use whatever you want. He's not a extravagant guy.
Yeah.
He's a real simple dude. You know, he drives an old muscle car. He wears plain clothes. He doesn't, you know.
And he's straightforward with
her. He's straightforward. Yeah. Exactly.
She's playing the manipulation. Like,
right.
Really great. Yeah.
Let me tell you what's so brilliant about this, though. The reason why I love this show, and power is the perfect name for it, because power in every single situation. There's a power. Listen, she's working with her power.
Yes, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? Struggle. Like, she got the power of the, you know.
She should put a tattoo right down there.
She got some power. There are little seeds everywhere. Seeds of power. That's, you know, a brilliant name for the show.
Speaking of power, I think the fans have the power, because the fans are the ones who go to iTunes and they download, they rate, subscribe, and they allow us to be in this building. So we want to thank you guys for always tuning into iTunes. Make sure that you download, go to iTunes. We have all various shows and different genres on AfterBuzz TV for AfterBuzz TV. So make sure that you guys go to iTunes. Make sure you download, you rate, subscribe, and you comment, and you please tell a friend.
And if you guys want to call in and put in your two cents or ask any questions or correct us on something, because we watch the show just like you guys, sometimes we get things wrong, you guys can give us a call, 424-256-1729, 424-256-1729. So.
Nomar.
Let's talk about, let's talk about, segueing from Tommy. So Tommy goes to visit Ruiz.
Right.
Right? So they can figure out what's going on, who's hitting them and whatever or whatnot. I love Ruiz had the gun under the blanket, he starts to raise. He sees a razor. I'm like, he's got that in the area, right? Like,
it's pointing. It's pointing. He's ready.
Right? And then, you know, Nomar sitting there eating the cold pizza, the pizza, whatever, on the couch. I love the way he has strategically managed himself into this operation, and he's been put in a rock and a hard place, but. You know, he came up with the snake in the bucket.
Right.
You know, he's used his wit. So you've seen this guy actually show that he has some intelligence, as opposed to, you know, Angela and Greg treating him just like
a
regular.
Him, yeah.
You know, he's actually had to, like,
put himself in a situation that is deep and intense and critical, you know, life-threatening for himself.
Yeah,
like I called it like the death walk,
right.
So because he's literally, you know, you see him right there, you know, trying to listen in and, you know, but he's like right there where the distributor is and his boss is, you know, and everything could come down in that 1 second as that door opens. But, you know, he's having to put himself there because he's coerced to, you know, but at the same time, he has to diffuse that whole situation and try to, you know, just ease on by. And, you know, not make a scene out of it.
I thought
and get the information that he has to.
I thought you played that scene so smooth.
Thank you.
You know, you knew at some point you had to make a move. So you smooth, you get a... Wait, first of all, I don't know if this is a New York thing. Why is everyone wearing coats inside the house? Is that an East Coast thing?
Oh, yeah, it's probably an East Coast. Yeah.
It's cold. Yeah, yeah, it's cold. Yeah.
But and I mean, it's about style, I mean, as well.
Everybody
so.
Is wearing jackets and, like, heavy jackets in New York. I don't... That was just
when see anybody walking down the street in New York with a tank top, they're on something.
I know, but when you get inside the house, you're supposed to take your coat off, especially in this kind of environment when you got cats with guns and stuff. I would think you would take your coats off because it could be.
No, that's where they hide.
That's
where you
keep now here's the interesting thing about that, because I was living in New York while shooting Power, mm-hmm. and most of the buildings there, they mm-hmm. have the heaters and the air conditioners in control by the management and the building themselves. Mm-hmm. So they don't come on. It's not like on the West Coast here where you have like portable air conditioners or heaters that mm-hmm. you control yourself. It's controlled by the building. So mm-hmm. a lot of times when you got like 14 inches of snow outside, it's freezing cold inside because they're not turning on the heater right now.
Wow.
It's not the time of day for them to do that for whatever the regulations and, you know, requirements that they have with them themselves for doing it that way.
Get
so a lot of
here.
Times, yeah, wow. I'm serious. So a lot of times inside, depending on the building that you're in, where you live, you don't have access and control of that, so you got to wear a sweater and a hoodie and a jacket inside to keep yourself warm. So
that's I did not
crazy.
Know that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a cool fact. Let me tell you.
Well, no pun intended.
Let me tell you why I love the role that you play. Well, first of all, you seem in real life completely different than Omar.
Thank you.
So that tells me.
I hope so.
Really, know, right? That tells me that you are really, really, really going in with this character. Like, you were really, truly acting. Because that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. Like, is that a little bit of who you are? Is it difficult to play that role? So you...
The way I wanted to approach Nomar was awkward, first and foremost, you know, for the situation there. But, you know, normal at the same time, because he's a human being, you know, like everybody else. And there's an interesting fact, because, like, everybody kind of pinpoints him as, like, you know, the... addicted, you know, bad guy in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. because of his, you know, pedophilia addiction and all that. But if you look at, you know, every other character in the show, they're all going through different addictions themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's because of the fact that Nomar gets pointed out, you know, by Angela and all that, that he kind of stands out on his own. But, you know, to answer your question, No, it wasn't. I've been playing these stereotypes for a long time. I had to do, you know, obviously research a little more in depth onto, you know, what pedophilia mindsets mm-hmm. are like and, you know, people who do that and all that. But, you know, it was interesting because he's just a guy who's stuck in a situation, and he's the most honest of all of them because he really just wants to live his life in peace with, you know, what he's pursuing, which is the love that he has for this girl. Mm-hmm. But he's stuck in a situation he can't get himself out of because of the fact that, you know, she's not of age.
Right.
And so they have all these things that they're blackmailing him and using it against him and, you know, and just throwing him into the pit of fire.
But that's so good that you said that, because I can pinpoint who Nomar really is. He's really not about that life.
No.
He's not like a criminal or somebody. It's sort of even shocking to see him going down this road of like having to be the CI. I know that Nomar was placed in that position, but he's really not that type of character.
No.
He just seems like a good... Actually, the funny part about it is that he's pretty humorous to me. Like, you're the character that you play is actually pretty funny to me. Like, I can't even really take him seriously, you know what I mean?
I get a lot of tweets like that.
Just
funny
lines. My thoughts on it.
But also, isn't Nomar in love with somebody who's like niece that's like really, really powerful?
Yeah,
isn't the girl like
his daughter, Ruiz's daughter?
Ruiz's
daughter.
So is there loyalty to Ruiz because of the daughter?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, keep it within the family,
him.
You know?
Yeah, but you're trying to bust him, but you still like, are you
well,
trying?
He's been placed, he has to be.
Yeah, I know he has to, but is there any loyalty that you're like, man, kind of in the back of your mind, your character, like, I don't really want to be doing this because I care about the girl and I, you know, I kind of care about her father getting busted. Like, how's he playing this? Is he really trying to help the police just to save himself, just to get out so they will leave him alone?
Yeah, pretty much. I think he's, you know, he's trying to save his skin. You know, he's in it for that. But, you know, at the same time, he doesn't want to have to hurt Ruiz because he cares for, you know, for him, obviously being the, you know, his love interest, his father and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, again, he's just stuck in a situation he can't get himself out of because, you know, he's having to straddle his love for the girl versus, you know, now trying to save his own life. Based on, you know, the blackmailing and all that. But it's so interesting because Nomar is like Madison Square Garden, right? He just, like, he's approachable to everybody, and he knows how to handle everybody, you know, and he knows how to, you know, just embrace, you know, everything that comes his way, in a sense. So he's sensitive and he's naive that way, you know, but at the same time, he's very powerful because, you know, he just allows anybody to come in.
Mm. And your character is also very quick on his feet. I liked how when you got up and you finally went to the door, start eavesdropping with, I don't know the character's name, but Frankie G, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
When he and the other guy comes up to you, it didn't take you no time but to be quick on your feet and just be like, oh, you know, well, because he was stabbed, I have to keep my ears to find out what's going on. You didn't even hesitate without even saying that, and they totally picked up on it. Mm-hmm. And then they went outside. So,
and that's the street smarts of him, you know, because he's been in the streets, so he's learned a few things, you know.
And they told the other two guys that, you know, because of what happened, somebody's supposed to be at the elevator, man, elevator the whole time. So
he's smart.
He believably managed that whole scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, Nomar's got some quick street wit about him. And he got rid of the guys. That was believable because somebody does have to be at the elevator, and that's where the guys were supposed to be.
Right.
And then somebody need to be making sure that Ruiz was okay because he just got stabbed. So obviously somebody, you know, wants to take him out.
But then,
and somebody has to be keeping watch because you don't know what's going on with Tommy and Ruiz in the room because now he told everybody to get out. I mean, he could really, if he doesn't have a gun or some way to protect himself because he's injured, Tommy could really strangle him with his bare hands.
Okay, but here's a question for you. So what would happen if Tommy were to come out and see Nomar? What would have happened there? What do you think would have happened there?
Tommy hasn't seen Nomar before, has he?
No, and Nomar hasn't seen him either, so they don't know who each other is.
But right.
He obviously, you know, is aware of the fact that he's in there with, you know, the distributor or, you know,
I don't think Tommy would react any kind of way because he knows that the guys are supposed, you know, all the guys from Ruiz's camp are all around anyway.
But I do feel that the direction that George Tillman Jr., the director,
it was a chase between
Nomar, between Tommy, and then the other detective,
Medina.
It was a three-way chase to see if they were going to collide or if they were going to all escape. So the way that it was shot,
brilliant.
It does make me wonder, now if they are really to cross, paths, what will really happen, what will go down.
Right. Well, you knew that Tommy and Medina weren't going to cross paths because that would just be too mature and too early as far as the storyline is concerned. Yeah. But what I really think is brilliant is how how Nomar had to be at the door and he was trying to listen, but the wire obviously is not going to be able to pick up everything. And then you're in another room, and so you're only getting like bits and pieces. So that way, when Angela would listen to the audio tape and it would be reviewed, she wouldn't be able to pick up that was Tommy.
But he was smart. But Nomar's character was smart because although he was eavesdropping, he even took it a step further and he took the piece of his jacket and he stuck it to the door so that they can, you know, inquire more information because he knew that his character knew that, well, we can't hear anything, but why didn't you? And so he was crossing all of his T's, dotting all of his I's. So,
I love that entire scene. I love how you play that entire scene. And like, I agree with Bam. It was so just quick and just, you know, quick witted. And it was just so on your feet. But let me tell you something else that I picked up. It was just really small, but it was, again, I think it was how they did the directing. It was so brilliant. That it might be a seed planted. When Nomar walked away and the other guy took his place, he gave him this look that almost could tell you something about what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
About, you
foreshadowing.
Know, yeah, it's foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. And it was just really small and it was really quick, but that's just a quick thought that I had, like, oh, I wonder if that's going to be something right there.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. Yeah, so for sure. Yeah. hit the nail right on the head, for sure. And, you know, one interesting fact that while we were shooting that, I actually ended up eating about 2 boxes of pizza.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. People have been tweeting me about it, you know, about eating the pizza and all that. And, we shot it, you know, a few different times to be able to get the whole thing. And, I just had to keep eating pizza. So, anyway, it's just an interesting fact there. But, you know, so interesting about Nomar in that situation is that he actually is putting himself deeper into – this life-threatening position that, you know, you just, you don't know what's going to happen because they just keep throwing him deeper into the fire, you know, and he's just going along with it. He's trying to save himself and at the same time defuse and be able to come out at the end of the day alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's interesting the way, you know, everything is revolving. And it's interesting because in the end, I think you're going to see a different side of Nomar.
Wow. But I just feel so bad for Nomar because it's like you were saying, it's just like he just wants to live his life. Granted, he's got some ways. He's got some tendencies, you know, about him. But I just feel bad for him. It's just the character that you play is a very likable character. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you're throwing him into the fire. You know what I mean? Like you said. But I feel bad for Nomar.
Just a couple of things.
Your face, though. It was just like, oh.
I feel like if he wasn't, like, in this situation, I feel like he could game Angela up somewhere, like, if Angela didn't know about him.
Yes.
Because sometimes he says a couple things, and I feel like she's, like thinks about it for, like, a millisecond.
What?
And she's like, no. I feel like she does that.
I thought the same
Okay,
exact
thank you.
Thing.
Okay.
No, you're not alone.
Because she was, like, so alone, and she's like, you know, like, I know I can't.
But then I'm like, you know what? There's not that many episodes left. They can't do it. Right. Like, they can't go there. Right. No, it's not going to be in the writing.
Really?
But I thought about it.
Because sometimes you feel like she's so desperate to get her career going. It's like, look, if I just let him cop a feel, a little something, that'll motivate him to go do what I need him to do.
She doesn't follow protocol anyways.
Right.
True.
You know, so.
And she was really just messing with Greg. She was really just messing with Greg, like, to get insider information on that side, the whole sting operation. You know, so she's just, like, really, like.
A little toss up.
Sure, why not? She said a toss up. I don't know about a toss up, but dang.
You heard it on the AfterBuzz TV.
Angela the toss up. I want to talk about something that we mentioned last week really quickly, which is something that was part of my prediction, and it looks like it's coming to fruition, is Sean and Kanan. Now, Sean and Kanan, we saw that in the beginning episode. We saw Kanan in the cell with his cellmate, beating him at chess.
Hilarious.
Then stringing him up. Of course, 50 got to make himself look all rough and tumble. You know, 50 had to do it hemmed up and then told him to go collect it and get ready for the next game. I mean, you thought he was going to snap his neck. I'm like, well, dang. That must be like normal. The guy gets mad. Anyway,
but isn't that interesting, though, really quickly, how his power transferred from the streets into the cell?
Right, of course.
It just says everything about him.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
So then he meets with his son, recognizes his son has his nice suit on, and he's planting those seeds that was obvious and, you know, evident that he mentioned before about him just being the driver, and now he's just saying, take what's yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take what's like yours. Like, it's almost kind of like you're the heir apparent to that empire. Like, Ghost and Tommy were, like, I'm not supposed to be locked up. I'm supposed to be the one on the street running things, and those two guys are supposed to be working for me, and the next thing to come along would be you to take over and still be the boss. So he's trying to get his mind right, and it looks like if Sean makes the wrong move, that Sean is going to end up in a ditch somewhere. But Kanan might be getting out soon.
Mm-hmm. He is. Obviously, for season two, he's going to.
Yeah.
So that is going to be really interesting.
Yes.
He didn't mention that to Sean, did he?
You know, he did. Because they know.
Way earlier than he was supposed
to be. Yes, they know that he's supposed to be getting out earlier or whatever. Of course, things have changed. But, of course, the transfer of power is going to start being shifted. Right. Well, and that's going
to
be a problem.
It's going to be a huge problem.
Because Ghost and Tommy have paid their dues in the street, and they're nobody's flunky anymore.
Right.
Unless this on, like, a level of, like, Lobos or something. You know, somebody that's, you know, on their level is not. They're going to have to make him a partner, or I don't know how that's going to work, or that's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But I really feel like Kanan's going to try to make Sean his partner and take over with his son.
Hmm.
That's what I feel. That's on the prediction side.
I don't feel like he feels like he's so that strong. I don't feel like Kanan feels like Sean is that strong of a person.
Well, he's planting.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Planting. He knows he's not that strong.
Yeah. He's just the method. He's just the means.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanan is the mind behind it.
Yeah, he's the mind, and he has to get his son's mind ready for when he comes to take over, that the son's not all sympathetic, like, well, these guys are cool, and they take care of me, bro. Dad,
Dad,
what are you doing? Like, you know, he wants him to have the manly street mentality.
Yeah.
So he's getting his mind ready for that, and that just goes to show you how smart Kanan is. That it's not like, man, you're supposed to be running this. He's not coming at him aggressively. Yeah. He's
He's in tune with the streets.
Yes.
Yeah, he has everything under his control. Yeah.
Yeah, so well, go ahead.
I want to ask you really quickly, what was the casting process like for you getting this role for Power?
Ah, yes.
And working with 50 Cent and all the great directors and, you know, the cast. What was the process like for you?
Oh, it's been a blessing working with 50, man. Mm-hmm. He's a genius. I love him to death. Follow his career. He's such an inspiring person, left and right, in all kinds of different ways. First time I met him, actually, he just gave me a hug, you know, right off the bat. Yeah, that's just the type of person he is. Very genuine, you know, humble. He's got people all over him, you know, all the time asking him for things and all that. And he's just giving, you know. Mm. So, you know, for me to be a part of this show, was such a privilege, you know, I was honored. The casting process about how I got it, I was actually asked to be self-taped for the role of Julio. Originally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was...
which is Tommy's right-hand man.
Right.
Was part of that organization,
Played by J.R. Ramirez, yeah. So I auditioned for that role first, and then that got me to call in for Ruiz's character. Yeah, so I went through the process of that and then called back for that, and then during that, they auditioned me for Nomar as well. Wow. So, you know, it was a few different steps, you know, about... I want to say a few different weeks, about 3 weeks or so, almost a month.
Okay.
And then they called me and they said, I got Nomar. So.
Wow. Sweet. But did that afford you the opportunity to research their different types of characters and come in, you know, respectively
yeah.
so?
Absolutely. Audition? Yeah. I had to kind of, you know, retransform myself for each different one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even felt like I related to Nomar a little bit more. So.
No, in the right
way. We won't go as to
way,
why, everybody. But yeah. But yeah, so I auditioned for all three roles and then I got Nomar,
Well, Nomar is perfect for you.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Yes, I'm glad you
Thank
got that
you.
Role.
Is with your ethnic background, you being from Brazil, what's your take on always being cast for Latino, Hispanic, you know, those type of roles when you're not even that.
Real quick, before you answer that, are you from Brazil or are you just Brazilian?
Yeah, no, I'm from Brazil.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Nice.
I just wanted to get that straight. Okay.
Yeah, born and raised. Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I embrace the fact that, you know, I've been able to emulate my stereotype. You know, we all get stereotyped and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. But, you know, like Denzel said, Denzel Washington, you know, you got to use what you can to be able to get in. And then once you're in, then you can show them you can change. But you got to have something to get in, you know. And so... I use the Latino a lot to my advantage. You know, about 99% of the things I've done have been stereotyped within the Latino market, you know, being a Latino gangster to some kind or another. So even the Latino lover and all that. So I've embraced that, you know, and I like it. I think there's a huge opportunity here for Latino community, you know, to be able to unite ourselves. We're, you know, the number one ticket buyers in the whole country, but we're still divided in a sense because of... you know, the different demographics within our own community. You know, you get separated into, like, we're Mexicans, you know, we're Colombians, and then we don't associate Cubans and Puerto Ricans stay over here. And so there's a division in that sense, but we're a strong community. Mm. And so I think being able to be diverse and being able to show, you know, that I can be everything and anything and be at everything at the same time, it's just an opportunity for me to be able to unite our community and say, hey, you know, we can be one. You know, let's not get caught up in, you know, these little demographic type of things, and let's just be Latinos, you know, and open up doors for us to be able to do more things, you know. And nowadays, you see that happening, you know. You got more Latino producers, directors, writers taking control, you know, and being able to open up doors and inspire other people as an artist who are Latinos to be able to come up and do the same, you know. So
just before you, Bam, just to make a comment, that to shout out to all the casting directors out there, this guy can actually play. You can play an African American. You could play someone that's Middle Eastern, you know, and Latino. You have a very diverse look, and a lot of people don't have, you know, if you're black, some people can just play black. You know, they can't play in the way that, you know, if you're Latino, some Latinos just really look Latino.
Right.
Some Italians just really look Italian. Like, everybody as an actor doesn't have that diverse look, and that's, you know, an added quality for you as far as getting more work. So,
well, you know, I want to just say something about that, because, you know, that is all a part of the process of what I call, you know, transforming myself for, you know, each role. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you say that, because I'm actually really light skin.
Really?
I am. I tan myself.
Because you do look lighter on camera. You look a little lighter.
I do. I'm actually even lighter than that.
Wow. Really?
I am. And my hair is a lot different. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I keep my hair. And now, you know, with the stereotypes, and I'm doing another film right now, so I have to keep it, you know, the way it is right now and the cut and all that. But, you know, my hair just grows out, and it's just this huge, big afro.
Right.
Wow.
So I can completely be, like, completely what you don't see right now. So, you know, it's a part of embracing, again, the fact that I get stereotyped as this, and this is what is strong for me, you know, and this is what works for me within the Latino stereotype is the Latino gangster, and so I embrace that, mm-hmm. and then I transform myself to be more approachable, more believable mm-hmm. in that, you know. So mm-hmm. I do everything that I can to be able to stay within that image that people see within that box, so I can, you know, continue to do what I'm doing.
Right.
Wow. You mentioned that you're doing another film. It's called Beautiful and Twisted with Rob Lowe. Tell us about that.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Sony Pictures going out to Lifetime. It's based on the life of Ben Novak Jr., mm-hmm. the heir of Fontainebleau Miami Beach Hotel fortunes, based on the true story, you know, and how he was brutally murdered. And it, like, shook the elites of the city of Miami. And mm-hmm. so I'm doing that. Just started working on the set, actually, today. Mm-hmm. Just came from the set. And
congrats.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm just honored to be on it, you know, and working hard. And working with Paz Vega, too. Mm-hmm. And got to meet her today. And she's so sweet. Hamki Madera, who's doing a lot, another great Latino actor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just working on that right now. So, wow.
And then our final question before we go into predictions. Sure. Will you return for season two?
I'm not allowed to discuss that right now.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Stay tuned. You'll find out.
I hope so.
Certainly we will be saying
so. We will stay tuned. Now, this is the part you obviously can't talk about. We have to go into predictions right now because we want to discuss what's going to happen.
You're after Buzz TV.
But we're gonna do what you did, what we did to Notori. So Notori was sat there. We have to try to read her to see if we can get. Is it warm? Warm? She's like, I don't know. Okay, so season one, Starz original series Power, week 7. Robin Ayers, predictions go.
I predict something is going down with Nomar. He is going to get found out. He's unfortunately, I'm feeling Nomar, but he's going to get found out somehow.
Same. Next week?
Soon?
Something might unveil next week.
Okay. Bam Erickson, week 7 predictions. Go.
I just have a prediction in general. Somebody has to die.
Somebody has to die. I love that.
And my prediction, I know it's not you because you're listed as being all 8 episodes, so I know it's not your character.
That's not, you're not supposed to go based on that. You're supposed to go based on the story.
Let me finish.
Cheater.
I think Sean is a dead duck. I think he has to die.
Sean is a dead duck?
I think he has to die.
Wow.
Well, that goes totally against my prediction.
Go, Erica. Week 7.
Sean is going to step up. First, he's going to go after Tasha and destroy that relationship with her husband. Because Ghost ain't talking about nothing. And he's not going to die. He's going to step up.
Kane is going to come out with a vengeance because his boy is dead.
Man, that's actually pretty good,
heavy.
Man.
That's heavy.
Okay, well, my prediction is... that Ghost is somehow, some way, gonna get in bed with Simon Stern, this guy who's like this big nightclub investor, and Simon Stern is gonna find out about Ghost some kind of way. He's a very powerful guy, but he seems like the kind of guy that probably has some street connections and might put some feelers out there to find out something about. But somebody it does have to die. You're right about that, Bam.
Because Thaddeus just too
like,
much.
Well, I'm looking at him. He's like,
he just went deep. Yeah.
So that's my all of my other predictions have been coming true so far.
Okay.
Holly stole the ear, so she stole something.
And Sean.
No, but I predicted it before she went. I was like, she stole something.
You're psychic.
I knew it right. And then the other thing was Sean being the next up and coming.
Go
blah
ahead.
Blah blah.
You got something?
Anyway,
I predict that one of your predictions is going to come true.
Woo!
It's me.
Yes.
Somebody's going to die.
Somebody's going to die. All right. Well, until next time, where can your fans find you, Vinicius?
Now, the easiest way is go to my website, MachadoVinicius.com. MachadoVinicius, MachadoVinicius.com, and you'll find everything there.
And yeah, all your social networks.
Yeah, all my social networks is there. Yeah, awesome. Actor Vinicius is for Twitter, Facebook, And Instagram, actor Vinicius Machado. So
awesome. Yeah. Bam?
You can find me at Bam Erickson on all social media.
Find me at Robin Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S.
At Erica J. Green.
At Club Thaddeus. That's C-L-U-B-T-H-A-D-D-E-U-S and GQJedi.com. Until next time, After Buzzers. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.